Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
About 20 years ago, a pastor named Rick Warren invented a simple little acrostic to help the folks in his church find out how they could best serve God. That acrostic was the word SHAPE, each letter standing for a different aspect of a person's unique design. Well, today, that little word is helping thousands of people, not just in Rick Warren's own church, Saddleback Community Church in California, but right around the world, to find fulfillment as they undergo SHAPE-style courses and discover their God-given purpose. Eric Rees is the pastor of the SHAPE Discovery Program at Saddleback Church, and he's written a book about the whole concept, and he's with us now. G'day, Eric. Welcome to Open House.
Well, thank you. It's so great to be with you.
Saddleback has just grown phenomenally in the last couple of decades. What's the attendance numbers now?
We're up to about 25,000 joining us in various locations on each weekend.
25,000. So hence you're able to be full-time looking after this one particular program.
Yes. We have many people, especially now due to the economy and a lot of people in job transition. The concept of SHAPE has helped a lot of people, not just in the discovering where they can serve in their church, but where to find the best next fit for their employment, because no matter if it's in ministry or serving in a job, at the end of the day, everybody wants a sense of fulfillment and fruitfulness in their lives, and that comes by using what we have been given and the skills and the passions, etc.
Now, a bit about your story. I heard you were running from God for a while there before you started to be leading this program.
Yeah, I actually worked in corporate America here for many, many years before getting involved in Saddleback Church. And I had a relationship with God and knew that when I died, I'd go to heaven. But I still was chasing what I call cash and trying to climb the old corporate ladder instead of truly living a fully surrendered life. Mm-hmm. And over a period of time, the Lord showed me that a lot of my choices were leading to frustration because I was simply trying to be someone that I really was not designed to be, and it put me in positions, in jobs and stuff that ultimately, no matter how hard I tried, and I am a type A, pretty hard-going guy, I just couldn't succeed.
That's fascinating. So I wonder how many other people feel exactly the same way, that they just struggle to find what that thing is that they're supposed to do.
Well, I would say thousands, millions of people do, because recent statistics, that at least here in the States, out of Washington, D.C., say that job dissatisfaction is at an all-time high. And a lot of people will even say, and they've indicated in this research, that they know that they will go on to work on Monday knowing they will not be utilizing their top talents and their passions for that week. And it's just so sad that the majority of the world go to work and they don't really, really enjoy it. It's more of they're driven by a paycheck rather than their purpose.
Absolutely. So this whole idea behind the SHAPE program is that God has actually made us, created us, shaped us for a special purpose. It's a pretty exciting concept.
Well, it's a concept that, you know, for myself, because I do believe in the Lord and I believe in the Bible, that we all are unique. We're not all mass-made. We are unique 100%. And part of that uniqueness is looking at the different skills and passions and personality and experiences, all the things that God made us to be, because at the end of the day, only you can be you. God's not, when I see him face to face someday, he's not going to say, Eric, why weren't you more like Sheridan? He's not going to ask that. He's going to say, Eric, what did you do with my son? Did you receive him or did you reject him? And the other question he's going to ask is, what did you do with what I gave you? I loaned you so much. How did you use that to make a difference in your life?
Eric Rees is the author of SHAPE, Finding and Fulfilling Your Unique Purpose for Life. He's with us on Open House, theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast. Okay, time to get the pens out, because we're going to explore this acrostic SHAPE. It stands for spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality type, and then experiences. Let's look at each one of these, Eric, and walk us through each one so that we can start to unpack what God has built into us. Number one, S, spiritual gifts. Give us a working definition of spiritual gifts, what they are and what they're not.
Well, spiritual gifts is simply a special ability given to each individual from God to help the body of Christ, which is believers, grow and mature and develop. You know, it's like any gift. If I give you a gift and you never open it, you'll never be able to use the blessing of and the benefit of the gift. And there are, in the New Testament of the Bible, there are about 21 different types of spiritual gifts that are outlined. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says many things happen to us, and one of those things is God gives us our gifts, but it's our job to understand what they are and unwrap them. And so they're special abilities to serve and strengthen other people for God's glory.
Yeah, and those key Bible passages, the 12th chapter of Romans, the 12th chapter of the first book of Corinthians, the 4th chapter of Ephesians, gifts like administration, encouragement, faith, giving, healing, hospitality, leadership, mercy, the gift of pastor, a prophecy. There's a variety of gifts that actually God can give us, at least one of those. We should also mention, though, that they're not just abilities, they're not just natural talents, are they?
No, because spiritual gifts come to us when we are born again, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The abilities were given to me and you and all of our listeners when we were born. They're still a gift. They're just not considered a spiritual gift, but everything's a gift from God. And so my natural abilities, no matter if it's my ability to sell, my ability to write, my ability to speak, whatever those natural abilities are, play basketball, whatever it is, those are my natural abilities. Now, I can use those to make God the hero of my life, or I can use those in selfish ways. It all comes back down to, how are we stewarding what God has given us?
Eric, how do we even begin then to discover what our spiritual gifts are?
Well, I think there's really two great ways to start the shape discovery process and the discovery process of spiritual gifts. The first one is just to do an assessment and to look at the different types of spiritual gifts. There's all types of assessments in my book, Shape. There's an assessment. You can go online to various places and take assessments. An assessment is just a snapshot of what gifts you might have. Then you need to go use those in various ministry settings to see if the result of using those gifts bring you fulfillment. If using those gifts bring you frustration, chances are they're not your gifts because God did not create us to live in a sense of frustration. We can make choices to live in frustration, but ultimately God wants us fulfilled and being fruitful, bearing results for his kingdom. And that's when we're using our gifts. So try to take an assessment, try to test them out. And I think another great thing that actually really helped in my life is to ask others. God used my wife and some of my close friends to help me really understand the gifts I had and the gifts I didn't have.
Okay, that's spiritual gifts. H is for heart. What are you encouraging people to identify when you talk about the heart?
Well, another word to think of heart is your passion. You and I have a physical heartbeat. It beats constantly. We also have what's called an emotional heartbeat. When I engage certain activities, my heart rate naturally increases because I'm passionate about those activities, those causes, those types of people. And when I deal with others, I might not be as passionate about that area. Your heart is understanding, what am I passionate about? How has God given me a unique emotional heartbeat to care and to reach out and to serve others? Because at the end of the day, according to the scriptures, the Great Commandment says that we're supposed to love God and love others. And one of the ways we love others is by expressing the passion that God has given us. For example, my passion is I love to work, and because I do a lot of life coaching, a lot of my time is spent working with people between the ages of 25 and 55 that live with a cluttered and confused life and want clarity and confidence in their life, and they don't know how to get it. And when I engage those types of people, my heart races. When I engage people that are very apathetic and don't really care about life, I call them cruisers, they're just kind of cruising through life, it's hard for me to get passionate about somebody that's not wanting, desiring to grow.
Yeah, sure.
And so we all have what I call certain target audiences.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you raised that issue about cluttering and confusion and things like that. I've got a friend who actually said to me not that long ago, and he said, you know, I don't know what my passion is. I don't know. Life's busy. I've got a family to look after. I go to work. I earn the income. You know, I love God. I've got a relationship with Jesus Christ. I you know, I go to church and I enjoy that on a Sunday and I serve wherever I can. But I don't know what my passion is. How do you help people who are just a bit confused about that whole area to discover what it is that really is lying on their heart?
Well, I think, Sheridan, one of the biggest things that people have to do is they have to give themselves permission to start to think and dream again. A lot of people's passions become quiet whispers and silent prayers over time. And so because of the culture and different things that are happening in their lives and because of the stress and the to-dos and stuff, they've lost the love with their true loves and passions that God gave them. Now, how do you know if a passion is really God-ordained? Well, ask yourself, who's the primary beneficiary of that passion? If the primary beneficiary of you reaching out to somebody is yourself, that's not the purpose God gave it. But if the primary beneficiary is someone else and ultimately the Lord, then chase that dream. But I think what I would say to your friend is I'd sit down with them and say, you know what? Let's start to learn again about the areas of your life that you truly have passions around and give yourself permission again to go back into those vaults of your life that have been closed and to reopen them because you have them. Everyone has them as long as they are willing to look and take the time to inventory their life.
Eric Ries is helping us walk through our shape, our spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality type, and experiences and how they kind of show God's fingerprint on us and maybe even show his plan and his destiny for us as well. Theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast. Okay, Eric, we've looked at spiritual gifts, heart. Now, abilities, we've all got abilities, either natural talents or skills that we've learnt over the years. How do you identify the most important abilities here?
Well, when it comes to people's abilities, you're right. I mean, my children have many, many abilities. I have abilities. My wife has abilities. But the question becomes, which one of those abilities bring you the greatest fulfillment? And so when I work with people about trying to find the most fulfilling career, I ask them three questions. Let's look at your job, your current job, and let's basically answer three questions. What do you love to do? What are the skills, the abilities, the talents that you love to use on a daily basis? When you're doing those things, you're finding the greatest fulfillment in your life. Let's make a list of those. Now let's ask the next question. What do you like to do? Meaning you can do it from time to time, maybe once a week, but it doesn't have to be daily, but you do enjoy it, you just don't love it. And then lastly, what are the things that you can live without doing? And I find a lot of people spend the majority of their time doing the things they can live without because, again, so many people are driven by dollars than their destiny. They're driven by a paycheck rather than their purpose. Yeah. And so they're caught up in this idea of I've got to make more money and so forth. And I understand. I was there.
Yeah, yeah. Eric, you've mentioned this word fulfillment quite a few times now. It's worthwhile exploring that the fact that doesn't mean that the work is easy, does it? I mean, this can still be hard work. We might still have difficult days, but there's still a sense of fit.
Yeah, I mean, by all means, work is work, and it can take effort. But do you wake up in the morning excited to go to work because you know you're going to be utilizing your skills and passions that you have, or do you wake up going, okay, well, I'm going to go to work because I need a paycheck? Mm. Fulfillment is the result of being in what I call your sweet spot. When I'm in my sweet spot and when you're in your sweet spot and when every listener is in their sweet spot, they have great energy, and they have great effectiveness. And that's what any corporation, when I work with corporations and say, let's analyze your staff and in light of shape, we change the wording around a little bit, but when we do that, at the end of the day, everybody wants to be effective and everybody wants to be energized.
Okay. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, the P is for personality. Now, there's a number of ways of looking at personality, different categorizations and things. At Saddleback, you use the traditional sanguine, choleric melancholy, phlegmatic model, which is really kind of a nice, simple model to use. I mean, we really are different in personality, aren't we?
Yeah, in personality, it helps us understand how to best use our gifts and our abilities and our even our passions. Our personality will help us understand more about how to make a difference and how to really find the best place to serve. For example, if I'm an introvert and I sign up for a ministry at my church that causes me to be an extrovert, I'm going to be not very fulfilled. Mm. The same thing is if I'm an extrovert and I take a job, even though it pays a lot, but it requires me to sit in a cubicle and be more of an introvert, I'm not going to have fulfillment at the end of the day. And if I was better being used to in more of an extroverted setting. So some people are cooperative. Some people are more competitive. Some people like to work with a team. Some people like to work alone. It's all about our wiring, and part of our wiring is part of God's gift to us. The problem a lot of people face is that they think they should be someone, and they think they should be the extrovert, and so they try to do that, but it causes them so much anxiety and so much stress that they end up feeling like they're failing rather than just finding freedom in who they are.
Yeah, I wonder if part of that is because, particularly in the Christian world, we tend to look to the authors, we tend to look to the mega pastors as the people that we'd like to be like, and they traditionally can be the more extrovert type personalities. And it's almost a case of, well, if I'm not an extrovert, well, you know, can God use me?
Oh, yeah. Many people listen to lies, and one of the lies is that to be valuable, you have to be visible.
Yeah.
And the Bible clearly teaches in 1 Corinthians 12 that we're all part of a body, and the most important parts are actually the ones that aren't visible. And so, I mean, you can't see my heart visibly, but it's incredible value to my body's success.
Mm.
And so for us to, because what happens is we compare ourselves with others. And when we compare ourselves, either one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to feel better than somebody, I'm going to feel less than somebody. Both are situations that God doesn't want us. God doesn't want us to be prideful, and God doesn't want us to feel like we're insignificant. He just wants us to be who he designed us to be.
Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and E is for experiences. Where are you going there?
Well, we all have a trail, and that trail has some positive and painful experiences. And what we have learned that God doesn't waste a hurt. He doesn't cause them, but we also know by reading Romans 8:28 that he can use those things, the good and the bad, to bring glory to him and help us reach others.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a case in point. I was raised by a very, very abusive alcoholic father. So that would be a painful experience in my past.
Mm.
But I could either hide that and not let anybody know about it, or I could look at it and say, okay, I don't exactly know why it all happened and it hurt and all that, but how can I use that as a platform to be a minister for God? The moment that I started to open that up and let more and more people realize that I'm a broken person, just like the majority of people are, that we're not perfect, that we have strengths and weaknesses and painful experiences and positive experiences, and the moment I became comfortable in my own skin, I started to find ministry opportunities ministering to other men and women that were abused by alcoholic parents.
Mm.
I mean, who better to help somebody that's recovering from being an alcoholic than somebody that was there?
Sure.
Who better to help somebody that wants so bad to have a child but for whatever reason can't, and they sit and talk to somebody that's there and that's been there and that's walked down that path, or somebody that lost a child? God wants to use our experiences to minister to other people.
Yeah. This is Open House across the nation. Eric Rees is the author of Shape, Finding and Fulfilling Your Unique Purpose for Life. We're working through this acrostic, S-H-A-P-E. I guess the thing that gets me, Eric, as we're talking about these things, is what it basically says to me is that God has built us in a way that we, all of us, have got so much we can actually offer. We tend to think, oh, I don't have too many gifts, or I don't have too many great abilities. Well, actually, these five areas of our lives actually shows that we've all got a lot to offer.
Yeah, I mean, we do. And like in my new book, actually, that just came out this week in America, called Only You Can Be You, is I address the biggest lie that people believe, that you can be anything you want to be. Mm-hmm. And that's simply not true. You cannot be anything you want to be. If that was true, every one of us would just be a random collection of chromosomes with no design in purpose and in plan. No, we are very selective. God made us unique. God even calls us a masterpiece. And masterpieces have incredible value and worth. And what happens is a lot of people start off as a masterpiece, but they become carbon copies of other people because they think if they were different, then they would be either more loved, more fulfilled, more happy, rather than finding the true fulfillment, the true love, and the true happiness in the Lord, rather than in who they think they should be. And so the biggest lie that I have found in people's lives, and even myself growing up, and my parents did tell me, you can be anything you want to be, but I can't. I would love to be a professional basketball player, but you know what? I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't jump, and I'm not very fast. So those are two things that I just can't do. But yeah. I can be true. I can honor the Lord by doing what he designed me to do, by using what he has given me to do, because at the end of the day, everything we have is a gift, and our job is to steward it and use it to bring the greatest glory to God.
Yeah. So somebody sits down with a piece of paper that they've just scribbled out these 5 points on: spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. What do they do then? What's the next step after you've kind of done the survey, done the analysis, so to speak?
Well, as to when it comes to, say, working in, say, serving in a church or something, is to find places to express that. Look for ministry opportunities. If you have a passion for children, work with children. If you have a passion to teach and a gift to teach, work in teaching. If you have a mercy gift and a shepherding gift and a passion for hurting people, work in counseling ministries and those kinds of settings. They become the filter in which you look at ministry opportunities and potential job opportunities, so you can maximize all of those elements of who God has made you to be.
And do you think the shape concept then leads to one big life purpose, i.e. one big career role, or do you think it opens it up into a variety? What do you think? Is it one big calling, or is it kind of one calling to God with a variety of expressions?
Well, I think that we all have one big calling to serve the Lord, and that we have unique expressions based off of our uniqueness. And they can change because our experiences change, but it's not. I don't get different gifts as I go on. The gifts that I have are permanent. My personality, chances are, is not going to change. My passions might, based off of certain experiences that I've had or have not had. But overall, I have a certain purpose, a certain theme to my life based off of who God has made me to be. And my job is to find the best expressions of that, to love him, and to love others by serving them through the uniqueness that God has given me.
Yeah, okay. Well, Eric, just finish off by telling us the story of somebody that went through this process and had their life changed in some kind of way. Who have you seen that this has really brought a remarkable change for?
Well, I mean, I could talk about, just as you said that, my mind was flooded with pictures and talk and conversations and stuff. I think one of the coolest examples is a gentleman that is a friend of mine, but his name is John Baker. He was in sales for many, many years, but hid that he was an alcoholic. And he finally realized that he needed recovery. He couldn't find recovery through the standard secular means, and so he wanted to create a recovery program where Christ was the center of it. And so as a working man, he started to volunteer in his church to launch a program that was been called Celebrate Recovery.
Oh, yeah.
But he stayed true to using his passions, his experiences, his personality, his abilities, his spiritual gifts of teaching, his spiritual gifts of leadership, his spiritual gifts of encouragement and shepherding. All of those gifts continue to be part of his life. And now, 20-some years later, Celebrate Recovery is an international program that's in thousands of churches, and I think one of the coolest things is it's in prison systems helping people recover.
Well, that is an exciting story indeed. Eric, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks for helping us discover our shape. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for for having me.
Yeah, it's Eric Rees. He's the leader of the Shape Discovery Program at Saddleback Community Church in California. He's the author of Shape, Finding and Fulfilling Your Unique Purpose for Life. That's through Zondervan. And a website for you, which will kind of give you a bit of a tool to take this further, shapediscovery.com. Shapediscovery.com.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.